Hey, and welcome back to the Mandarin family. Thanks for joining us, and we are going to jump into this past week's sermon. But before we dive in, we wanted to give you a couple ways you can take your next step with us here. Summer is in full swing, and there are some awesome activities and events on the calendar that you will definitely want to check out. Go to our website, mandarinbaptist.org, and select the events tab. You will see the dates and times for some really great things to do with the whole family. You can also register for these events on the website as well. One of these events that you don't want to miss is our beach baptism. We already have people interested in signing up for this biblical step in following Jesus. Our heartbeat is to see people give their life to Christ and proclaim it by being baptized. If you are interested in baptism or would like more information on it, or even if you would like to know more about following Jesus, please contact us. You can visit our website, mandarinbaptist.org, and you can find us at facebook.com/Mandarin Baptist Church. We would love to talk with you, help connect you to a small group, or share with you what your next step of faith might be. This summer, we are starting a series on Psalm 119, to delight, to find our place of joy, truth, hope, and promise in the anchor of God's Word. We have to know what holds us in a world that is fully adrift. The hope that sustains us and that anchor we hold to is Jesus, and we find great delight in Him. Psalm 119 asks God to help us anchor in the paths of His commands, turn our hearts toward His truth, and find life in His way. This summer, we will drop anchors of truth in our beautiful Redeemer, Jesus. Now let's enjoy this venture in the pursuit of ultimate delight over the next weeks through Psalm 119. The anchor holds.
So I have missed you guys. Mostly I've missed worshiping together. And I think before we exit our heart set right now, I just want to deepen us one more step with Scripture. So for this reason, I kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. And I pray that the power of Jesus Christ would be enriched in you. I pray this according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through His Spirit, and that Christ could dwell in your hearts through faith. And I'm praying for you as the body of Christ, that you are rooted and firmly established in the love of God in Christ Jesus. That you could comprehend with all of the saints. Oh, wow. That you could comprehend with all of the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of the love of God in Christ. How great is your love, oh Lord. And to know Christ's love, and here's a beautiful statement in Scripture, that surpasses knowledge so that you could be filled with the fullness of God. So now to Him who can do above and beyond all that we could ask for or imagine, to Him be the glory in His church and in Christ Jesus through the wonder of the hope that we have in Christ. Welcome to worship. Welcome to unimaginable promise in Jesus. And so I have enjoyed, and I don't even know that that's the proper word. We've been away on a couple of weeks of vacation, and I can't imagine a better way to come home than to celebrate with the body of Christ the greatness of the love of God. And so glory to God. I had a couple of humbling moments as we walked through the last hour, or about 50 minutes now. The first, did anyone else in the room have this awkward reality when Matt stands up and says, "Man, that was a classic. That was beautiful. Changed my heart back in 2012, forever ago." It's like, wow, I love the classics. And so Oh my goodness. And then this one is funny, but I was just listening, we're praying for JMCAP, and he's leading us in that prayer. And I was just, I had this statement came into my life about 15, 16 years ago now, but there's 90 kids coming, but every number has a name, and every name has a face, and every face has a story, and every story matters to God. And so in the first service, the early morning service, we were having this prayer time together, and I'm just sitting in, and it just kind of struck me. This kind of fits with Matt's classic mode as well, because it struck me because I started adding this up, and I was like, oh, Lord, I'm getting old. Because 45 years ago at Vacation Bible School, which now can be called Jam Camp, some people invested in my life along with the story of Jesus as the chronicle from the time I was born, and I said yes to Jesus at that encounter. So I just want you to know, we're not like generically praying for 90 kids, because every number has a name, and every name has a face, and every face has a story, and every story matters to God. And I have just been praying that this will be fertile soil, and the salvation of Jesus Christ will just move throughout these hallways over this week. So join with me in that prayer and have this great mystery. Where is some of the kids that are showing up going to stand up on a platform 45 years from now and proclaim the goodness of God in Jam Camp 2021? I kind of like that, so you imagine that with me. And now, on to the message. We're in Psalm 119, and we're spending the three or four summers in this psalm. This psalm is a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of, I don't know, I'm thankful, Matt, for the way you introduced the psalm, just with the proclamation of the wonder of the word and how beautiful the word of Christ is. And just 2 weeks ago, kneeling before our Father, just in a humbleness before the cross. And then this past week, my father kind of just, I'm fond of the guy who preached this past Sunday. My dad just brought the word of Christ, and today I just hope I can follow in their steps and say this psalm is a beautiful psalm. I mean, it's a delight in the word. It's an anchor for us in every single way. And so as we study Psalm 119, or maybe better said, as we allow the word of Christ to study us and to draw us more into the image and the likeness of Jesus, I am just praying for us. It is a song. It's a song of David. The early church would have been singing this psalm, and what a beautiful time that would be. It is a prayer. It is a way of life. It's a trust. It's the capacity, which we're going to read in Psalm 119:18, for us to sit in this room and sing the psalms, and then to wonder. To say, God, I wonder, I imagine what you could do among us if we would anchor our souls deeply in your word and pursue truth with all that we are. That's really the heart of David as he wrote this psalm. It's an acrostic psalm, you've heard that, or it's a Hebraic alphabet. And so you're walking alphabetically through the psalm. We're in the third letter of the alphabet as we walk through this morning and talk about three verses. And I think what we gain in this is the intrinsic truth that God is with us, that his truth is for us, and his promise is certain. I need to just preach that into my soul as I read David being anchored again in truth in a world that is constantly in movement, that God is with us, his truth is for us, and we can trust with certitude his heart. And so I am praying that. And I think that's often counterintuitive, so I want to plant this seed, because the scripture is counterintuitive. Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, is often saying things to us that make no sense as we walk through. And I do believe that this particular message today will be a counterintuitive message. It will have dissonance in our heart because Jesus says things that are really interesting. He talks about our happiness in the Beatitudes. Happy is the one who is meek, for the meek are the heirs of the earth. That's really not the way that we pursue life, is it? How about this? There is life in the midst of death. And in fact, the only way to experience life is to die to self, to plant the seed into the soil, and to watch what the Lord does as he rises up to death. And that's why when we're singing that the Lord is risen, our hearts should be exploding with wonder, because we have been raised to life in Christ as well. So how about that? In death, there is life. There is in blindness, there is sight. In freedom, there is chains. And so I wonder what the Lord is up to as we gather. And I just want to maybe quote Hebrews 11:1, that for us, this idea of, Lord, there's really sight and blindness. That there's times that I think I'm seeing fully and I don't understand. And I believe this, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of the things that we do not yet see. And so, with the same heart as Matt shared a couple of weeks ago, I would like to read Psalm 119, verses 18 through 20, and just ask the Lord to do this. Here it is. Open my eyes, Lord. Could you just pause and pray that? No other words needed. Open my eyes, Lord. Done? It's a good prayer for a moment-by-moment basis, by the way, so that I could contemplate the wondrous things from your instruction. Psalm 119, verse 19, I'm a resident alien on earth. If your goal is to belong here, circle this passage. Lord, I am a resident alien on this earth. Do not hide your commands from me. I am continually overcome with longing for you, for your judgment, for another translation of that word, for your instruction, because I am making my way through as an alien here. It does not make sense to me. Much of what you call for me is counterintuitive to what I am told to long for on this earth. So, Lord, give me a hunger for you and open my eyes to the reality of your presence as I make my way here. And God, I am hungry for your instruction. Would that maybe capture a bit of your heart? And if it does, would you say thank you to Jesus? And if it doesn't, would you ask that of him? Lord, open my eyes. Remind me daily that if I am making my way and fitting in, this is strange because I'm a resident alien here. God, draw me to yourself and guide me with your instruction. Anyone here like an author named Ann Voskamp? Ever heard of her or like Ann? I had one person. Yay, we have more than one. I love Ann Voskamp, and she writes some very thoughtful things. She has a very thoughtful podcast. She has a very thoughtful blog. And I happened to bounce across 3 weeks ago when I was studying this text and writing this message, a blog with Ann Voskamp. So I would love for you to join with me in a historical songwriter. His name is David. In a present songwriter, her name is Jane, and I began to see these two kind of come together, and I would like to share with you some truths from Psalm 119, 18 through 20, and then being lived and fleshed out by a young lady named Jane. So here's, if you read Ann Voskamp, or you want to go and venture, and you can skip out right now and pull out your phone, and just kind of jog through this, she has some certain people that she's had experiences with, or has seen that she says, I would like for you to come to my front porch. It's one of my favorite things. Her front porch means I want to sit down, and this is all, you know, on the web, but I want to sit down, and I want to understand more about you, and I want you to understand more about me, but I really want to understand what Jesus is doing among the two of us. And so a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you might have seen it flashed all over the web, but there was a pretty beautiful moment that happened on America's Got Talent. I enjoy that show. Her name is, thank you for enjoying it with me, Denby. But it was a beautiful moment that was in this, and her name is Jane, and you won't know that from that show. But that, out of that, Ann Voskamp said, I want to hear your heart because what's going on with you is significant. I want to have my eyes opened so that I can see and contemplate the wondrous things that have apparently captured your life. So will you come and sit on the front porch with me? And can we talk about life in Jesus? And I just kind of hedged into that. And I would like to share with you some from David, some from Jane. And I think all of this is of the Lord. And so Ann Voskamp began to share, and she said, right after I watched America's Got Talent, I knew there was something substantial going on. I knew I needed to talk with Jane. And here's what she gave a little background so you can know in case you haven't seen this. And by the way, it's on our YouTube channel and our Facebook channel. There's a link. You're welcome to check this out. It was a really good moment. I don't think I linked Ann Voskamp. You have to look her up. But I did link this video. And so Jane is just sitting in. Here's Jane's story. She's 30 years old right now. She's a Liberty graduate up in Virginia. She's a worship leader who hasn't been able to lead worship for the last 5 years because she's also battling cancer. And according to her most recent reality, she has a 2% chance of living. And so just kind of mark that into your life as we walk through. Lord, open my eyes to the wondrous things. Open my eyes to who you are. I am a resident alien of this earth. It's not going to make sense at times. Would you draw me to your instruction? Would you teach me who you are? Would you give me a longing for you and for your ways and for your judgments, Lord? Because otherwise, I will judge my life on a 2% reality, and you have given me an entirely different perspective. So can I just acknowledge this? Your story is not Jane's story. But all of us are sitting in this room with something that's waiting in our lives. And if there's not something waiting in your life, it's coming. And I would just like to show for you what a modern singer, and truly, Matt, a classic singer in David, is bringing to our table for us in this reality and truth of who we are. And so here's what you should know in Psalm 119, verse 18, that a literal translation is true. Oh God, open my eyes. But it also is true if it was worded this way. Remove the veil. Remove the things that are blinding me from seeing you for who you are. I want to be known by you. I want to know you. I want to be a part of who you are, Lord. And so teach me about yourself. Teach me who you are. Have you seen Jane on the screen? Has she popped up yet? Micah, there she is. So if you haven't met her, that's Jane. She's precious. 30 years old, graduate of Liberty, worship leader, phrase of cancer, 2% chance of living. And she sang a song that's entitled, I'm Okay. Very fitting. Very fitting to fulfill Psalm 119, 18 through 20. Lord, in the midst of your instruction, as a resident alien, I'm okay. I want to glorify you in the middle of all of this. And so would you glorify yourself? If you don't watch America's Got Talent, I do not. I don't think I've ever seen the show live, but I do like golden buzzer moments. It makes me feel good. I'll have a little cry moment at night and go to bed. Confession. And so the golden buzzer, she finished the song. She had told her story prior. And at the last moment, Simon Cowell steps up and says, we've had a lot of good singers, you're not it. And a very palpable moment, when she finished the song, it was just silent because everyone knew, you're dealing with a lot. And you're telling us you're okay. We're sitting in here ruffled about the smallest of things and everything feels uprooted in our lives. How's that happening for you? And it was just silent for a while. It seemed like minutes. It was probably 5 seconds. And then the place just exploded. And Simon Cowell does something. Well, all of the judges, if you're not an AGT fan, has a chance to say, you're in. And so he kind of said, you're not a great singer, kind of messing with her. And then he hits the golden buzzer. It's on the screen. It was beautiful. It was a moment. I think it was almost a taste of what it looks like to step into heaven and just to see everything beautiful happening and falling around you and saying, Lord, a 2% does not define me. What I am about and what I long to be about does not define me. The longing of David's heart, the longing of Jane's heart is to be known and to know the Lord. To be known and also be known as a person who is known for knowing Jesus. To be known as a pursuer of the heart of God. She wrote in her back porch moment, and I think you should hear this from a 30-year-old with 2% chance of living, saying this, the bathroom floor is the place where I have found to hide in Jesus, where I could scream and I could be ugly, where I could sob and spit and eventually doze off to be asleep and happy to be asleep on a tile floor with my head resting on the toilet seat. Because I wanted to know Jesus in the middle of this. And I wanted to make him known in the middle of this. And I wanted to wrestle with the biggest things, the things that matter, the sorrows that are drawn into my life, the bouts with cancer, 3 of them now as a 30-year-old that I am walking through. And I am a resident alien here. And I lie on the tile and I ask the Lord for wonder. And to teach me to walk in the midst of wonder with all of the questions. And listen, welcome to church. If you will read the Psalms and the songs that they write of laments and hurts and hopes and doubts and questions. And they celebrate the goodness of God. And she wrote, as I am praying in all of these ways and feeling so at home with the Lord, I just seek his heart this way and tell him, according to this scripture, I'm a resident alien and Lord, would you give me an ongoing heart of wonder? Yours isn't Jane's story, but what is your story? And could we begin to say to the Lord today, this 2% of my reality doesn't define me. It's not going to shape my present or my future. Lord, you are the defining instructor of my life. And I put my rest in you. Susan and I were talking about this, and this just moved me, this sentence. This was in the blog. This is directly a statement of a modern songwriter, and I love what she said about her prayer life, and I would pray this for your prayer life. I resonated with this because I had this experience in my college apartment, and so I want to really kind of live this out. So here's her heart for prayer. Do you want to hear her heart for prayer in a modern-day lyric? I am the downstairs neighbor banging on the ceiling with the broomstick saying to the Lord, I'm showing up every day. I really long for us to have that as a prayer of Mandarin. We're the downstairs neighbors, and we are banging on the roof, and we're saying, oh, Lord, would you bring your presence to us? Would you guide us with your instruction? Would you remind us that we're resident aliens? Would you let us not forget? Would you not allow the 2% to define us? And we're going to bang on the roof until we are known by you and we know you. That's the beauty of her prayer. And we just said we want that to be kind of the marker of our home. We're going to bang on the ceiling of heaven if there is one and there's not, but we're going to pursue him with the broomstick saying, Lord, pour your spirit out on us so that we can know your ways. We'll probably do this as we make our way through life with songs and laments, with apologies, gifts, demands, with rants and sorrow, and we'll do this for wonder, according to Scripture, for clarity, for instruction, and ultimately what David said in Psalm 118:20, in longing of our soul. It's why we want to say, Lord, we know you. She wrote, Jane said, tears have become the prayer that I know. They fall to the ground as I reach for him. I'm a resident alien here, and I have wonders that I want to ponder and beauty to behold. I have pain to navigate and questions to ask. I have laments to speak and rants to scream, but I want you to know this. I'm quoting David, the songwriter now. Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand. You understand my thoughts from far away. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me and you have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty and I cannot reach it apart from your instruction. I just feel really burdened right now that some of us in this room have allowed us ourselves to be defined by whatever our 2% is. And I just would love for you to check out if you need to and move into the presence of Jesus and allow him to redefine you. Allow him to just restate his sovereignty in the middle of this so that we could walk about saying, for the glory of God, for the wonder of Jesus. And I will not be defined by an illness as a resident alien here because my home is with him, in him, and for him. And so I closed with this. And as a pastor, the word closing is relative. But open my eyes, Lord. She wrote of this, I have seen Jesus in rare form. I have felt his presence. I have experienced his refuge. I am like one who is in the shadow of his wings, and there is glory and wonder there. And I am praying for us that we'll have that renewal. And I really love what she wrote about this. And so let's get ready for a quiz. If an explanation would help, I would ask for it. So for those of you in your 2%, the prayer wasn't, help me get this. If an explanation was needed, I would probably ask for it, but most likely it would just cause a fight for me with him. And the last thing that I want to do is have a fight with him. But instead, I long to rest in him and listen. Zephaniah said it this way. Listen, Lord, as you quiet me with your love and as you dance over me, as you rejoice over me with singing and you move about with the wonder of who you are. That, Lord, is what I want to be as I seek to know you. And I ask you to open the eyes of my heart to who you are and what you are doing. And she said, I reminded myself as I was praying that this is the same God that allowed the Israelites to wander for 40 years. This God I'm walking with and talking with and venturing with. They begged him for the promised land, but he instead allowed them to wander. But not knowing this, and he was answering prayers every step along the way for 40 years, answering prayers every step along the way, never having shoes that worn out, having the light of God guide them in the night and the cloud of the Spirit of God guide them in the day, to be able to walk through this saying, Lord, every morning we are receiving mercy bread from heaven. The mercy bread is called manna. Does anyone know what manna is in definition? Manna defined is? What is it? Isn't that so fitting for us 2%ers in the room? Isn't it fitting for those of us who are walking through some things that we think, oh, we're just so overburdened, we're overwhelmed, and we're looking at the Lord and saying, I'm going to bless you with what is it? And it is my mercy. And my mercy is not solely new for you every morning, although that is quite biblical. It's new for you moment by moment. It's new for you in this day. And so for those of you that are trying to untangle during this message, feel free to untangle for a while and restore your soul with the reality of what is it, Lord? I'm not positive what it is, but I'm positive it's you. And would you pour out your mercy again today? Thank you, Lord. The same question I keep asking again and again is this. There's mercy here from somewhere, but what is it? And I am an alien. There was a particular moment, if you choose to watch the video, you can. If you don't, it's okay. But there's a particular, I will not do justice. I'm a 54-year-old man who's not got cancer and doesn't have 2% to live. But when you're 30 years old and you look like Jane, who's coming back on the screen right now, and you're standing up saying this, it has a little more legitimacy. So can I just quote her for a moment? If we're saying, Lord, we long to know you. We want to open, have your eyes open for us. Would you teach us of yourself? Here's what she said. It was show-stopping. The place was silent. There was awe because she said these words. You cannot wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy. And we're just sitting around going, I hope this kind of clicks now. When this clicks in place, Lord, glorify yourself. No. In the midst of this, we're not waiting until everything is okay to say that we're okay. Because we'll never reach that point. Why? Because we're resident aliens here. It's not going to make sense here. But Lord, we long for your instruction, your judgments, your wisdom, your truth. Guide us in those so that we might glorify you no matter how short the journey. And the word happiness is beautifully translated in the Beatitudes when over and over he says in counterintuitive reality, happy are those, happy are those, happy are those. Or when you take Jesus and says it was for the happiness or the joy set before him that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, taking on our sin for our behalf and for his glory. Oh, wow. So don't belabor the happiness with a tentative little moment. I'm happy now. No. This is a deep reality of sufficiency of Jesus in our soul. And I pray that for us. So does David. So does Jane. Just working through saying, oh, Lord, it's not mercy that I ask for, but his mercy, she said. I continually overcome with longing, and I'm learning a new prayer. And I love this prayer. You're welcome to join with her. Thank you. Every moment of every day, thank you, Lord. I will thank you in the storm. I will thank you when the doctor's in front of me. I will thank you for the hope of the gospel and the wonder of Jesus. She ended her moment on the front porch with this. There's a lot of things people could say about me. You could call me cursed or lost. Call me scorned, but don't end there. Call me chosen and blessed, sought after. Call me the one for whom God whispers his secrets. On the floor, head on the toilet. He's good. What is it? It's his mercy. Even on days when I am not so sick, I rest in him because my body is filled with the loaves of the goodness and the mercy of the King of Glory. So I close with this. Where, Lord? Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Even there, your head, Your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. It's a hand of strength, Lord. Even if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness isn't dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. And so open my eyes, Lord. God, you are in the broken places, in the not yet seen. Father, faith is the assurance of what we hope for. It's the conviction of what we don't yet see. Because this is true, I choose joy. Lord, I choose to trust you. I choose worship. I choose you, Lord. Instruct me for your name and your glory.
Thank you for joining us in our series through Psalm 119. We hope this series will help you find delight in the Word of God and rest, knowing that He is our anchor when there is so much adrift around us. Before you go, we wanted to give a quick reminder to check us out at mandarinbaptist.org. You can find us at facebook.com/mandarinbaptistchurch. We would love to connect with you and help you take your next step of faith in Christ. One last thing, church. Please join us as we pray for life change to happen at our activities, events, camps, and more throughout this summer. We see God working in many ways, and we believe that He has so much more for the Mandarin family. We love you, church, and we hope to see you soon.